Thank you. May it please the court and counsel, I see this as a rather simple matter at this point. We had commenced this action or the Chapter 11 filing, and I did so as outlined in the briefs as the sole shareholder and trustee of this dissolved company, dissolved many years ago. Appellee then came in at a later date and moved to annul the stay, asserting as a basis or premise that we were not entitled to file the Chapter 11, or I was not entitled to file the Chapter 11, and the company could not go forward on that basis. I don't think that's a correct statement of the law, particularly in this circumstance. And so out of caution, I have brought this appeal to get the stay reinstated. And of course, that would give us the opportunity potentially to reinstate the matter. There are three principal cases that I rely on here. And first, as you've seen in the brief, is In Re Corporate Leisure, which is an Arizona case. And I, from all I can see, is good law for the circuit. And of course, what In Re Corporate Leisure says is there may be a receiver out there, but you are entitled to seek, or the companies can still pursue Chapter 11 relief. And that's what we've done here. Now, I'm anticipating, and as Appellee raised the issue, well, what am I doing here? I turned to the OIA statute, which is an adoption of the Model Business Corporation Act, as you know. And coming to the second case that I think is quite interesting that is in this circuit from Montana, which I noted to the court in my reply brief. This is In Re Krause case, which is quite lengthy in its discussion of some facts until it gets to the really almost on all fours with this case, finding that even though they had a company that was dissolved, actually even longer than this one had been, that the court would actually proceed to transfer everything to the shareholder as the person in interest. But what's interesting here, and there's no case on it, is this after Hawaii in 2001 adopted the current version of the Model Business Corporation Act, which does indeed make a distinction, as is outlined in the third case that I think is significant here, this Intermediate Court of Appeals of Hawaii, the Kosiarik v. Maclow case, which thoroughly states what the law was before the adoption of the current version of the Model Business Corporation Act, which in summary simply says, hey, now everything stays with the company. But then the Hawaii legislature, 1 year after adopting the Model Business Corporation Act, added this section to 422, which is sub B in the Hawaii code. And this is not part of the language in the Model Business Corporation Act. And what it says, perhaps not perfectly artfully, but it says whatever the law was before, and of course you will have read this yourself, but my reading of it is that whatever the law was before the common law or elsewhere, the applicant can choose whichever is most favorable. So I think we're perfectly free either to proceed under the way it might have been treated under the original or the previous adoption of the Model Business Corporation Act, or to do as I've done here. And that's, to be succinct, without repeating the brief, that's my point.
Right. Why are you the right person to bring this?
Well, as I noted in the briefs, there isn't anybody else. I'm sole shareholder of the company, and of course, that's determined by state law, and I am in possession of what is the sole asset, which is the apartment where I'm sitting right now. So I'm, and the previous law that Kosiarik talks about, and that I think 422B, continues, is that the long line of case law, whether in the U.S. District Court's decision or in several state court decisions, N. Ray Ellis, etc., I have them in my brief, that the stakeholder, the shareholder, is the real party, is the, I don't want to say real party in interest, but if there's one shareholder, that shareholder is the party in interest.
Why is the corporation the right party to bring this? The corporation of which you are a shareholder.
I'm sorry, why, you mean to file the Chapter 11, Your Honor?
No, to take on this particular fight.
I'm not getting your point. I'm sorry.
Well, what interest in this property does the corporation have?
When you say this property, you're referring to the real estate or to the rest of the corporation?
The real estate.
Well, the company is the holder of the title.
Isn't that kind of in dispute in state court?
Well, I think it has to be determined. And the position of the appellee is, well, we got a receiver, so you no longer have an interest. You can't do anything, and everything is the decision of the receiver. We disagree.
Let me take a step back. What the appellee would like to have happen, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the process that began to figure this out in state court really ought to conclude, right? Isn't that their position? And if so, in that case, all the bankruptcy court's deciding is, well, should we be in the way of this? And the answer is no. It's underway in state court. It's a state court issue. It ought to get determined there, and it's kind of gating, because it does, as Judge Taylor said, it goes directly to the question of who filed the bankruptcy and who ought to be prosecuting the appeal. So, I mean, the limited question here is, why don't you let the state court just go figure it out?
Well, permit me to interject. I'm not a party to that action. I attempted, the state court action. Mm-hmm. I filed a quite proper motion to intervene.
Yeah,
That was complete, and it was denied.
Well, let me stop you. Let me stop you right there. Wasn't that a competent action by the state court, and why should the bankruptcy change that?
No, it wasn't a competent action because I'm the.
No, you may not have agreed with it, but the state court had the power. To do that, right.
Yeah. Well, the state court didn't have the power in this case because, as I go on to point out to you, and if I can just make a point, and I know I'm over, is that. They don't even have service on the dissolved company. Thank you, Rhonda. They do not have service on the dissolved company. So essentially, they're tilting at windmills.
Okay.
All right. If you want to stop now, you've got, a good bit of time, or you can continue to argue. It's up to you.
I'll defer until I hear the appellee.
Thank you, Rhonda. You can reserve 6 minutes and 43 seconds.
Gotcha.
All right, let's hear from Mr. Chiacona.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, that is correct. May it please the court. I think Your Honors have articulated the exact issue at case here. And the matter is this is being handled at the state court level. The state court action was filed in 2016. This was heavily litigated, of which Mr. Gilliam participated in through counsel. The reason a receiver was appointed is it was through this discovery process we determined that the sole shareholder, Ms. Vivian T. Lord, of the original owner, she deceased and the matter was dissolved. A year after it was dissolved, this new corporation was created with the exact same name, which Mr. Gilliam is the shareholder of. The reason I'm covering that background is because the entirety of this action is based on a presupposition by Mr. Gilliam that he is the shareholder, which was litigated in Kauai, which Judge Watanabe had the information for, and made competent decisions. No, he's not the shareholder. We have a receiver appointed. He may have interest.
He's not the shareholder of, because we have two entities here. One he formed.
Correct.
So he's the shareholder of two. the determination was he's not the shareholder of one.
Yes.
That holds the asset. Okay. Just to be, it's confusing because of the names. I'd name them, but that wouldn't be helpful at all. So.
Yes. Yeah. They're I think number one and number two is an accurate way to delineate.
Okay.
And so, as I said, Your Honor, this matter was litigated in detail. Finally, a receiver's appointed. The receiver's trying to do their job. And I think we've covered this in our motions, which we've attached to our brief. And the reality of it is that the question before this court is, did Judge Ferris abuse his discretion? And there is nothing that the appellant has pointed to, and nothing he can point to show that. What's telling in this instance is that this appeal is not from the dismissal of the Chapter 11. This appeal is from the annulment. There is no attempt to revive the Chapter 11. In fact, Mr. Gilliam filed the Chapter 13 in 2019 following the dismissal of this matter, and then again attempted to file something on behalf of Pacific Rim just this year. This court has, there's multiple cases that this court has done in it, and actually just recently looked at the motion to annul the automatic stay in the Merriman case. In fact, Your Honors, Taylor and Lafferty were signed that.
22 evenings ago, right?
Yeah. And so I think in reality, we don't even get to the analysis, but if we got to the analysis, Judge Ferris was correct in annulling this stay. And there is no reason to overturn that.
To use one of Judge Lafferty's good terms, a gating issue here, in that do we have the right party? What's the standing of to do anything here?
There is no standing of number two. Ostensibly, this Chapter 13, this Chapter 11 is filed on behalf of number one, because number one is the one that holds the interest in the property. Mm-hmm. And it's the receiver, and we've attached that, so I don't want to beat the dead horse, but it's the receiver that is in charge of that. And the receiver has taken it under their control and is trying to do their job. But we have this filing. We've got multiple filings. I just received a new filing from Mr. Gilliam where he's suing Judge Watanabe. I think what we're looking at is one where we see, okay, even if we ignore that this isn't the right person to file this, if we go just to the merits and we apply the standard that Your Honors applied in Merriman, Judge Ferris made the right call. And that's the only question for this court right here. Now, if you have any additional questions, I'm more than willing to answer them, but I don't want to waste your time rehashing something that you've clearly read and that you are clearly up on top of.
Judge Lafferty?
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I have no further questions. So, Mr. Gilliam, you may respond to those arguments.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, the counsel has just told you that there was a detailed decision by Judge Watanabe concerning title to this matter, and that's simply not true. The only opportunity to do that would have been if the judge had permitted me to intervene in the matter. She didn't do that. There was no such determination.
Well, there was no determination that you were involved in. Is that accurate? I mean, she made whatever decision she made, and that's not really in front of us, but your point is I wasn't involved and I should have been.
Well, but not only that, essentially right now, they have a case where the dissolved corporation, which has the title, counsel just told you, isn't, the court doesn't have jurisdiction of that company because it was never served. So exactly what entitlement does the court have that in this reference detailed decision as to title? Where is that? That's not in the record. The only
but isn't
thing
that something... Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Isn't that something that has to be decided in the state court? I mean, you're talking about issues that may be the subject of a state court appeal, but we can't for sure, and Judge Ferris couldn't either get involved in that. So again, going back to Judge Lafferty's question, why is it inappropriate to say let the state court handle this?
Well, for one thing, I'm not a party to that. And so I don't have any standing to seek any kind of appellate review of that aspect of the case. That's why I have brought an action in federal district court that seeks injunctive and declaratory relief so that we can get this straightened out. Because precisely the statement that Appellee's counsel made that this has all been determined by Judge Watanabe, that's not true. That's what needs to be done. Let's say that the receiver goes ahead and does this thing. Right now, he doesn't have to put 2 cents in my bank account. That's not appropriate. There needs to be a determination. I was a necessary party. So when I filed the Chapter 11, I filed it for the dissolved company. Did I have the entitlement to do that as the sole shareholder? I think the court needs to address that issue. You can't simply say...
But that case has been dismissed, correct?
The case was dismissed, but I can move to reinstate it at any time.
At least
that's the way I read the code.
Today, it's dismissed, and you didn't appeal from the dismissal.
Yes, ma'am, of course.
Okay. We have to deal with the here, the now, and the moment.
But as I understand it, and it seemed to be within the orbit of what Judge Ferris was discussing, and the reason they got the annulment in the first place, is that, you know, given the ability for someone to come back in or use what's been done in a bankruptcy case, it still is a live issue that needs to be decided. And that's what, you know, Judge Ferris is saying, or the lower court is saying, I have great respect. I'm going to annul this because the receiver... These people came in and said, well, the receiver gets to make all these decisions. Well, that's simply not the case law in the district, in the circuit. And that's not what Inre Leisure says. I'm the party who's still in control of at least filing a Chapter 11 and getting that relief.
Okay.
That's my position. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your arguments. This will be submitted, and we will make sure that Judge Brand reviews the argument so that we hope that she will be in a position to do that very shortly, and we will get a decision out to you.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I want to say also that your staff has been most courteous and efficient. I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you saying that. This is not normal time, and we are all under nothing is normal now. So yeah,
it's really it's been great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.